Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is brought to you by Firefly Willows LIVE.
Hi, I'm John Carosella, and this is A Shamanic Life. We're back from our August break.
The following program is brought to you by Firefly Willows LIVE.
Hi, I'm John Carosella, and this is A Shamanic Life. We're back from our August break, and as I mentioned in our September 3rd show, a lot is changing for me. So while I expected August to be a month of relaxing and retooling, it was, as they say, overtaken by events. So we have a new show for you tonight, a little shorter than our typical format, but it's full of great content. We've got Wendy Gale as our featured guest. Wendy is a trance channel for Archangel Metatron, and I can't wait to share our conversation with you. And I'll also introduce you to the multi-talented Todd Zimmerman, whose story we'll explore in more detail on a subsequent show. Tonight, I'm the guinea pig as Todd explains the power and technique of hand analysis. Our beloved Karen Armstrong is traveling, so she won't be with us tonight. We send her our blessings and best wishes on her journey, and we'll catch up with her next time as we wind our way back to our regular format. So for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. It's A Shamanic Life. I'm your host, John Carosella, and this is A Shamanic Life. And with me for today's featured guest is Wendy Gale. Wendy has been a healer, channel, and teacher for 22 years. She has a deep relationship with Archangel Metatron, who I can't wait to find out more about. He's one of my personal favorites, idols, icons, I don't know what you might say, hero perhaps. Wendy and Metatron's journey together is to inspire the awakening soul through love, self-discovery, and empowerment. In the world, it is their goal to invoke the spirit of compassion, understanding, and oneness, bringing light to life. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you, John.
So, my interest in Metatron, as I shared with you before we got together, is this: the dynamics, the power of sacred geometry, and the sort of primal force nature of him, like that he's. Is it he?
I call him he.
You do, okay.
Yeah,
all right, so
I do.
That's good.
Yeah.
So I'll adopt that too.
Okay.
That he's so close to source.
Yes.
And so he must have seen and must understand, which is what I infer from the fact that he's the sacred geometry guy, that he understands the physics of the universe.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
So, I want to go into that territory if we can.
Yeah.
But tell me about how did you connect with this amazing spirit?
It was totally out of the blue for me. I had begun my journey as a healer and shortly thereafter began to learn channeling. And I worked with a number of different energies, consciousness, and it was like I could almost see them lined up. It's like one would step forward, work with me, and then step away, and the next one would step up.
Did they then go to the end of the line?
No, they're just like they're still around. I can still contact them, but it's almost like that piece of work, how they raised my vibration,
what happened with
me. Mm-hmm. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, they would do a body of work and then they would step aside and the next energy would step forward. And I could always kind of like look at the end of the line and there's this huge energy. And, you know, that stuff isn't revealed to you until it's time to know, right?
Yeah.
And so I began to work with the energy of Sandalphon, which is actually Metatron's twin brother.
I didn't know that.
Sandalphon is Metatron's twin brother. And all of a sudden, that energy kind of like morphed and split. And I realized that there was a greater piece of the energy stepping forward, and he announced himself as Metatron. At that juncture in time, I had very little understanding of who or what he was. So we began our journey together by, you know, creating relationship first and trust, and it's just grown exponentially in the past 6 years.
So I want to ask about the other players in that line.
Yes.
It strikes me the way you said that they would do a body of work and raise your vibration. Can you share a little bit about that? Like, for those of us who don't channel in the way that you do,
mm-hmm.
what is that? Like, are you like sort of being stretched, or you know, like how it happened?
I guess on some level I am being stretched. I think of channeling, and I kind of teach, it's like a muscle that we can develop.
Mm-hmm.
And the greater amounts of energy we can, quote unquote, hold, right, in our physical body, energetic body, the greater source of light or vibration or information that our guidance can move through us. And so that was what was occurring for me. I was pretty timid, just new, and a soft and gentle energy came in and worked with me and like popped some things open.
Okay.
And then the next one approached, and I had some more ahas and some more understanding, a deeper understanding of who I am in relationship to being a channel and a healer. And it was like they just kept coming in, and it was lesson after lesson and expansion for me. So when Metatron first came, I could only hold his energy, in my space for like 10, 15 minutes at a time, and then I would be just zonked.
Hmm.
And so we really had to work together to get, you know, harmony in the frequency and that type of thing.
Okay, so if you can put words to it,
mm-hmm.
what is that like for a channel
mm-hmm.
to engage with a spirit and then sort of, you know, match vibrations? What does that feel like?
Okay.
What is there something that you see inside of yourself? Is there something that you feel? Is it like something with your breath? What is that?
It's all of that. I'm what's termed a full body trance channel, and so I kind of the ego me steps back a little bit to be out of the way, so he has more of the space to work through me, and it feels like I am being filled with vibration, like tone. You know, when you hear loud music and you can feel that vibration in
mm-hmm.
your body.
Yeah.
When he begins to come in, I start to feel that vibration moving within me. We've been through a lot of ways to bring the energy in, you know, more cleanly. That's always what we're looking for. Right now, I am imagining that I'm a lightning rod.
Mm-hmm.
And he has me standing absolutely neutral, and then it's like he pulls into that center point and then spreads out from there. So it lights up my hands. He moves a lot of energy through my eyes. It's like when he comes in, it's like my heart feels like it's being, you know, broken open out of my chest. It's fascinating. It's a lot of energy. A lot of energy. Very cool.
And do you like condition yourself for this? Do you need to do yoga and have some ride and stuff like that?
I take the time to, you know, to walk. I try to eat well, but you know, I'm human. there's some things that I've learned to do to support the process. Whatever I eat, I bless the food to raise the vibration, because that helps to raise the vibration in my physical body. I do connect with him every day, and I create deeper and deeper relationship. And I believe that it's the relationship that really helps the expansion of the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's extraordinary. It's, we've had some journeys about, you know, he will tell me what he'd like me to do, like a class or something, and he'll say, this is what you're going to do, and go ahead and set it up, and that will be the only information I receive. And I show up at the event absolutely cold, do my prayers, and step back, and he comes in, and he's the one that teaches the class. Right?
So that's
you have to have trust, and that's how he's been teaching me to trust him, that he's always got my back. And an amazing, extraordinary feeling to know that your guidance always has your back.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So what started you on this path? Did you know that you wanted to be a channel, or like, what was that?
No. I always laughingly tell my students that I am, you know, a psychic late bloomer. Mm-hmm. That's how I refer to myself, because I was 41 before I even knew that there was such a thing as a spiritual path. And my awakening began at the end of a pretty severe illness. And I, you know, woke up one morning and said, oh, I think I'm a healer. I'm going to go learn how to do healing. And it began with my healing journey and my passion for healing. And as I was doing that, I had another friend who was an amazing, extraordinary channel. And she kept saying to me, you're channeling while you're doing this. You're channeling while you're doing this. Why don't you study channeling in conjunction with your healing? At that juncture, I thought it had to be one or the other until all of a sudden I realized it was all woven into one. And so I began to also study channeling.
So what was the nature of your illness?
The nature of my illness was kind of undetermined. It was something that out of the clear blue sky just kind of came and hit me, just knocked me for a loop. The first time I was in bed for almost 2 weeks, high fever, kind of delirious. They thought it was just flu. I recouped, was up and about for about a week, and I got slammed again. And they thought that I was just being, you know, having a relapse. And the same thing. And then it happened a third time. So in a matter of like 6 weeks, I had been just slammed three times with this undetermined illness. And it created a whole shift in my psyche. And I did speak to you a little bit, you know, before about, feeling that I, walked in at that time.
So do you have a lot of memories of your life before that?
I have some memories of my life before that. I have most of my memories are surrounding my two kids. But a lot of the other things that have happened in my life are very fuzzy.
Like childhood memories?
Childhood memories. It's almost like I can remember a few things from childhood, but the generalized, you know, flavor of what my childhood, right, was. But as for specifics, not so many. As a young adult, not so many. At 41, it was like a new door opened, and the one that I had been, you know, already walking in. I'd already been living in. So things shifted drastically. My marriage ended. All kinds of things shifted for me, and all of a sudden, boom! I'm on this spiritual path, and I'm like totally like, what the heck?
So you were a fairly conventional person before that.
Yeah, born again Christian.
Oh wow!
Very conventional. Right?
And how does that look to you now?
It looks pretty fantastic. I'm grateful for that base, for that background that I had. And it's really extraordinary to be able to have a different understanding of the teachings and a different perspective perspective of, you know, what, you know, I was learning, you know, back then.
Yeah.
Right. So it's great. I just, you know, I feel connected to the, you know, again, the flavor of that as well. I believe that there's pieces of it that will always live within me. Right. Things that are good, like integrity and honor and compassion and that, you know, that's important in our work.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a short break, and then we'll be back, and we'll talk more about your walk with Metatron and your life as a channel.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
At Firefly Willows, LIVE, we're working hard to be your trusted source for fun, enlightening, and heart-centered information and community. And we're passionate about the art of transformative media, the new leading edge of communication in our highly connected, media-rich world. If you're passionate about facilitating change and you have gifts or ideas you'd like to share, come join us, host a show, or be a guest, or connect us to an amazing speaker or teacher whose message is too good to miss. There's always room for courageous, knowledgeable change makers, inspired artists, and new ideas. Let us know you're interested. Send an email to info@fireflywillows.com. We're Firefly Willows, LIVE, helping you find and shine your inner light.
Welcome back. I'm John Carosella, and this is A Shamanic Life. And with me, talking about life as a channel and her walk with Metatron, is trance channel Wendy Gale. So, Wendy, before the break, we're talking a little bit about your life before the moment. And now let's get into a little bit more of the your life after, your current life.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you spend daily, you spend time with Metatron. How does that, you know, that's a pretty intimate relationship that you have with Metatron. How do people in your life feel about that?
They love it. It's really interesting. He is woven into almost every single aspect of my life. I mean, I'll even say we're going to the grocery store. Come on.
Wow.
Right? And then I have some fun with, you know, having Metatron at the grocery store and, you know, holding his compassion and his energy. It's pretty cool. But, you know, my significant other is very much on his spiritual path as well. And he has his own relationship with Metatron, and they have a great partnership. He's helping Jerry with business and all kinds of things.
Oh, can't hurt.
Yeah, it can't hurt, right?
I've Metatron on your board.
And friends understand that. As a matter of fact, they lovingly call me Wendatron. Because at any moment, you never know. And that's kind of an interesting thing when you've woven it in, so, you know, integrated it.
Yeah,
correct?
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
You also mentioned earlier that you were on a healing path.
Yes.
And your friend said you're a natural channel, mm-hmm. you're channeling while you're doing mm-hmm. this. What do you think, do you have a sense for why this path as opposed to some other kind of path?
I'm fortunate, I think. Uh-huh.
You didn't choose it. It chose you.
It kind of feels like it chose me. It's really interesting. I know that the truth of it is that it's perfect in its timing, and it's perfect in its, you know, expansion and awakening. But why me? Why any of us? I think that we all have this available to us. Some people, you know, choose to study it, choose to expand it. Others don't. Others will do it, you know, to their comfort level, whatever that is.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that it's part of being inherently human. This is part of our gifts to channel, to be open to the guidance of spirit. And as a healer, I believe that energy moves through all of us if we even just give it a moment's thought. We can begin to feel it moving through.
And do you teach this process, the process of preparing yourself to meet and channel
yes.
a divine
yes.
being? Like, what's step one?
Step one. in the ABCs, step one, I teach people how to take care of themselves to make sure that they're connecting with higher self or energies that are safe, clean, integral. That's always step one. Then the next step after that is to help them to create relationship with the one that they feel that they'll be channeling or whoever has stepped forward or with higher self. Some people will come to take the classes and they won't have any particular idea of what, you know, in pushing on them. And so we work with higher self until they get to that place where their guidance can step through.
So I wanted to ask about the higher self thing too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recently I've been plumbing the dimensions of the notion of the divine mm-hmm. within us. You know, so there's this kind of a, maybe it's not a conundrum, maybe it's a paradox that, you know, here I am in my human self, right?
Yeah.
And in theory, God is in me, and God is invested entirely through all of my cells. So I'm also God.
Yes.
And yet I have ego.
Yes.
Right? And so and then there's the notion of the higher self, and mm-hmm. then there's the notion of your spiritual buddies, your
mm-hmm.
helpers.
Mm-hmm.
And the notion of God. How do you parse all of these things inside the self? How do you know where the dividing line is between you, the ego you, and you, the higher self you, and you, the presence of God in you, and you, Metatron?
Well, my understanding that is, for me, it's all God, whether it's Metatron, guidance, higher self, me, even ego. The journey I think that we take is to delineate all of the different understandings, all of the different energies, to be able, you know, to be able to relate to them. How do we relate to our soul? That so we delineate our soul, our higher self, and begin a journey of understanding that so that we have the reflection, that we have the relatability. We delineate guidance, angels, guides, masters, so that we can have the experience of relating and then learning to grow and then finally understanding that we are that. So it's, I think that we create those separations just so that we can finally come to the conclusion that there is no separation. It's all one thing.
This is that is actually very interesting, because this is one of the questions I wanted to ask Metatron about, kind of. In the beginning, it was all undifferentiated.
It's true.
And I get this story that, and I feel it deeply, that it was boring.
Yeah.
Right? And God was like, great, I'm everything, but I can't tell. Right? And so then the differentiation, like the first I am not that moment occurs so that God can witness God's self mm-hmm. from another perspective.
Yes.
But can only witness a part of it because you can't see your own eyes.
Right. That's true.
And this whole storyline, you know, of the universe that we live in is a derivative of that desire for God to know himself, herself. And so the idea that we have that we create these accessible separations in ourselves so that we can bear witness to all the different aspects of divinity, perhaps?
Yeah.
But why do we get stuck in ego then? I mean, it seems like that's like a dumb thing to do.
You know, that's one of the big things that we work with in channeling is ego mastery. I believe it's another delineation. If we are experiencing ego, it makes sense to kind of make the broad assumption that so does God in a different way, right? Because you know, as above, so below. There can't be anything that we're experiencing that is separate from God or Source. So that delineation is one of our greatest teachers, our greatest tools, right? When we hear the ego tell us that we're not good enough or that we don't deserve something, then a journey takes place, the journey of understanding our sovereignty and that we are, you know, we are good enough, we are enough, right? I believe that the ego is just one more, you know, kind of, it seems like a wild hare sometimes, but it's one more way that that Source helps us to grow, to expand, to understand.
Very cool, actually, because if you think about it, if we didn't have ego, we would coalesce back into Source pretty fast.
Yes. Yeah.
It's almost like ego sets up the dynamic tension that allows us to stay separate, yeah, so that we can observe and bear witness and learn and evolve.
Metatron says the ego creates the playground.
He's a clever guy. That's pretty interesting.
And, you know, we all pretty much judge our egos pretty harshly.
Once you become aware of it, then you start to judge it pretty harshly.
Right. And he's talking to me about the fact that it's not for judging, but it's for reminding what is still there to be healed, reminding what's still there to be understood, so that, you know, our evolution, our awakening is almost fueled by those pokes that the ego gives us, right? Because it sends us in a direction for a lesson or a blessing.
So what does Metatron typically talk about? You know, like, does he talk about individual issues and developments? Does he talk about social fabric structures and wounds and so on and so forth? Does he talk about global considerations? I mean, I would think that he would spend a fair amount of his energy on the bigger picture things. But maybe he's also like a local.
And yes, he will address everything, right? But the way that we're working right now is like soul to soul. Because what happens at that level is when that soul awakens, then it's no longer just about soul to soul. Then it becomes local, then it becomes global, then it becomes, you know, the universal. So he does a lot of very deep one-on-one work. And he has also done work on a more global level, getting information, talking to people about what's going on. The thing that happens within that, John, is that the things he speaks of elicits fear in a lot of people because it can get intense. And so there's just a lot of people would rather feel his love, his compassion, his humor, that relationship that they have with him, and the other information they only want in little tiny pieces because it's scary to them.
I can understand why that might be.
Right.
And, you know, and also, you know, the idea of being the change is the surest way to manifest the change, right? So if you focus on yourself, there's less of the ego confusion about what's going on out there and what somebody should or shouldn't be doing about it.
Right.
If you're really just focused on cultivating your own inner beauty and inner truth.
I agree. And that, you know, it seems like something that's repeated so often, but what I've observed over the years is that when people begin to awaken, to expand and to grow, then all of a sudden what they're doing in the world shifts.
Yeah.
and how they're in service shifts.
Yeah.
And so it's been extraordinary to watch people go from a very small, you know, tight little bud to someone who is fully blossoming in their journey here.
Yeah.
It's been a gift. It's a gift to watch. It's incredible.
Mm.
Yeah. It's my cookie.
I like that. That's cool. So this show is called The Shamanic Life. Part of what we try to highlight is how people are making their way in the world, mm-hmm. living a shamanic life. And, you know, often that does require us to have money.
Yeah.
We live in a money-based
yes,
society.
Absolutely.
Does your work as a channel for Metatron pay your bills?
Yes.
It does.
Yeah. I've been blessed. I found myself unemployed about 5 years ago, and Metatron said, here we go. It was an intentional kind of kick in the backside from the universe, because I'd been being urged for a number of years and had been too afraid to step out. And so all of a sudden it's like, alrighty then, maybe I better just take a deep breath and begin. And so it doesn't happen overnight, but I do support myself. Sometimes it's easier than others, but I feel gratitude to be able to be doing our work in the world and supporting myself.
That's how you know you're doing the right thing, I think.
Yeah.
You know, if you can be so well taken care of in doing your work that you don't have to worry about your needs being met.
Yeah.
So what's a top five experience? Top five positive experience in
top
doing this work.
Five positive
something amazing that and you know, and why was it a top five, and how did it transform you?
Okay. All right. I think the first time that Metatron and I did healing work on someone who was in very ill health, let's say, and they were going in the next day for surgery to remove cancer, and when the doctor got in there was nothing there. That was probably one of, you know, the highest points you can reach in your work.
That was
extraordinary. I would have to say that I get so high and jazzed doing my work all the time that top five is really, really tough. I love to be able to teach the classes. I can't tell you how much fun it is to watch people awaken. So that is also in my top five, is to, you know, to watch that process that people go through. The elation and the struggle, the knowing and the falling back asleep for a little while and then bursting open again. It's extraordinary. And I would say that just every time I work with him is a new adventure, and his energy continues to get stronger. So what comes forward is always surprising. It's always surprising me. It's ever changing. So there's nothing rote about the work together. Nothing rote. And so I think another exciting thing that's happening is that he's encouraging me in different ways. He wants to write a book, so we are in the process of creating a book. He wants to, and you know, just that in itself is kind of exciting for me, because I never had any, you know, impetus to write a book. So it's all pretty spectacular.
Okay. nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
what about the challenges along the path? Something that was particularly...
Well, I think the greatest challenge for me was to accept the fact that I was good enough to step out and to do this work. I tended to put my teachers, my mentors up on a pedestal, and I was never that good, right? I would never be able to be as good as so-and-so. I would never, you know, reach that pinnacle of success. And I think that that was one of the biggest challenges. And that's one of the things I speak to people about today, and Metatron does as well. There's no difference between you and me. I've just been doing it a little bit longer. And, you know, it's not going to take you as long as it took me. I was a slow learner. But that, I think, was one of the most hard lessons. And then to learn what integrity is within this work and how to, you know, move through my life with a level of integrity.
Even share a little bit about that. What is that? What do you mean by that?
You know, there are a lot of people that are doing work that they will, you know, say things to people that aren't true. They will mislead people in their work either unintentionally or intentionally. And my goal is to always be, you know, in that space of truth, right? When I'm doing my work. And that's not always comfortable sometimes. It's a little scary sometimes to be in that. And what I've learned is that my integrity and someone else's integrity is going to look totally different. So you can't even really teach integrity. All you can do is
model it.
Yeah. and to be as integral as possible. It makes your work clean and clear. Right. I just that's an important thing to me. And that is one of the things that has been a journey throughout, you know, throughout the number of years I've been doing this, is how to be integral.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. All right. So I kind of want to ask, you know, what we didn't do was we didn't actually introduce Metatron as a being that, you know. So.
Mm-hmm.
So who is Metatron?
All right. There are a number of different, you know, explanations as to who he is. I refer to him as Archangel Metatron. I think that in the greater scheme of things, that's a misnomer. But he does have a lot of angelic energy. So people can relate to him very well in that way. And it kind of makes him safe, right? And so when he calls himself Archangel Metatron, it's a way to embrace people. What I know about him is that he is this huge, 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 huge body of consciousness, and that he is the sacred geometry of all things. That's how he explains himself to me. And that, so he's not someone who's lived on Earth as a human, right? Mm-hmm. But he is within the fabric of everything. In the Kabbalah, they have him at the top of the tree of life, and everything kind of moves through Metatron, right? And then Sandalphon, his twin brother's at the bottom. Interesting, right?
Oh.
Involution, evolution. So it's fascinating.
Very interesting. Sandalphon, huh?
Yes.
Because I have this idea of the source mm-hmm. and the void, and there's the void is this undifferentiated potential.
Yes.
And the source is this undifferentiated energy.
Yes.
And in order for creation to be something other than blank,
yes,
totally full, but totally undifferentiated, you got to move away from those poles.
Yes.
And you know, I talk about the void as empty, and the first step from the void is chaos, and the source as full,
mm-hmm.
and the first step from the source is Metatron.
Yes.
But maybe somehow maybe there's a name for this other side of the spectrum.
Right. Right. Interesting, isn't it? It's almost as if there has to be something to catch the light
yeah.
and reflect it back.
Yes.
And yeah. and that's really interesting because Metatron's been talking to me about that, in that when we think of the void, we are thinking of, you know, we think of nothingness or black. Many of us think of the
right.
void as black.
Right.
But he's talking about the void as unilluminated source. And that the energy that's shifting and moving upon the planet and how we are expanding and awakening, it draws more light into the void within us. And then there is that place that it like bumps up against and then reflects it back out again, back into. So it's that involution, evolution.
Wow.
It's really fascinating the way he's been. And he talks really simply to me because I'm not a mathematician.
That feels really cool. That I, as you were talking about that, you know, a friend of mine, Sonia Bibelos, is a really beautiful lady. When I was first left high tech and was first starting my walk, she sat down with me and said, you know, you have this, you have this idea of this infinity that is outside of you, right? That's
yeah.
out there.
Yeah.
And she said, you'll come to realize that there's an infinity inside you too that's just as big.
Absolutely.
And I always find that very attractive. Seductive is the wrong word because we make it a pejorative, but it's so fascinating to me that there's an infinity, there's an infinite universe inside me, and what does that feel like? What does that look like? And when I touch it, I feel connected to something,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
That has unlimited potential.
Yeah.
Like that, it can just keep, like space itself is expanding. I feel like I have the potential to be infinitely expanding.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means particularly, but I feel it. I feel it in my core
yeah.
in a weird way. I feel it in my solar plexus particularly.
Yeah, it's fascinating to feel it and yet not have like a picture in our mind of what it's going to look like, because we're always wanting to know, well, what is it? What's it going to look like? What's the finished product? And,
yeah.
and in truth, there will never be a finished product. And that's what he's talking to me about lately is he says, you're not going to, you know, work really hard and reach, you know, an epiphany. He says, you're going to continue to work really hard. Then you're going to transition and you're going someplace else and the journey continues and you're working equally as hard, right? It's that it will never be a destination location.
It's like,
so
it's
speak.
Like the lotus flower that just keeps opening and opening
yeah,
and opening.
Just continues. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
But he does talk about how we hold all of our experiences are imprinted on the soul, right? And so the soul carries everything into its next incarnation, no matter where it is, and is imprinted more and more and more. So eventually, right, eventually there's going to come those lifetimes, those understandings where there's enough imprinted on the soul where we're going to have a different understanding of ourselves and of life and you know, and how to move, how to navigate.
So is that the moment, for example, one might say that's when we ascend?
Yeah, I guess that would be
we're no longer human.
Right.
We've transcended, we've captured, our souls have been exercised
right,
enough to
right.
fill all that space, and now there's the next adventure.
Yeah. yeah. Transcendence or transcending, I think, only means a new beginning.
Yeah.
I think
Absolutely.
It means a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So we're just about out of time.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any last thing you'd like to share with our listeners?
Mm-hmm. I think if I had to share one thing, I would just remind people that they're never alone, that their guidance is always there, even if they are unaware of it in the moment or struggling. And you can always reach out. You can always reach out and begin a communication, begin a relationship with those that surround you. You are the apex of a thousand, and whatever you need, if you will begin to reach out, that will be given to you. That connection, that relationship will unfold.
That's very encouraging and very beautiful. Thank you.
Yes.
And if folks want to get to know you or your work a little bit better, how should we direct them?
Please go to my website, angelemerging.com.
Angelemerging.com.
Yes.
Okay, great.
I'll let you know what's going on with me.
Excellent. Wendy, thank you so very much for sharing.
Thank you, John. Happy to be here.
And we'll be right back.
Would you like to share your shamanic life with our audience? We're always looking for featured guests who aren't just doing shamanism, but living it. If you've got stories to tell, let us know. Your stories can illuminate the path for others. If you're interested, contact us at facebook.com/shamanic life or send a message to Karen Armstrong, K-A-R-Y-N, at shamaniclife.com or John Carosella, JC@fireflywillows.com. We're ready to listen.
Welcome back. I'm John Carosella, and this is A Shamanic Life. And with me for our segment on practitioners, protocols, and workshops is Todd Zimmerman. Todd is a breathwork practitioner, transformational life coach, and hand analyst. And I might add, a musician, a drummer, didj player. And I had the amazing pleasure of working with Todd and Dr. Ginger Mills last year to create a beautiful winter solstice 2012 ritual. So we're going to have a chance to get to know a lot more about Todd in an upcoming show. But tonight, for our segment on practitioners, protocols, and workshops, Todd's going to give us an introduction to hand analysis, and I'm the guinea pig. So before we started, Todd, you looked at my hands, and you took down some information. What was it that you were doing?
Well, primarily, I took down your fingerprints,
mm-hmm.
and that distinguishes hand analysis from palmistry.
Oh, okay.
Fingerprints is a relatively new addition to the tools we can use to derive meaning from the marks in the hands. So the fingerprints formed 5 months prior to birth on what's called the volar pads of the fetus, and they never change.
Mm.
Everything else about your hand over time changes. This is what made some of the palmistry a little bit hard to validate in the past, was that, of course, we're changing as we grow and maturing and developing, and the marks in our hands reflect that. But the fingerprints don't change. And they represent our soul's agenda, what the soul came here to do. And there's three components in that. We call it the life purpose, the life lesson, and the life school.
Hmm.
These three components are determined by looking at your fingerprint types. There are four primary types of fingerprints and a bunch of hybrids.
Okay.
Yeah, blended versions. And so what we did prior to this moment was we took a look at those, because that can take a while to determine what they are sometimes. And we've got a map now created that I can refer to as your soul's agenda map, and I can give you some meaning based on that, as well as there's other marks in the hands, gift marks, marks that represent high potential talent in a particular type of, or territory of consciousness.
Hopefully there's a couple of those.
There's a couple. You got a couple of those. Seems these years, in the last probably 5 years, I've seen more gift marks in hands than I'd seen all the way up till, I've been reading hands for 23 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And in the last 6 years, I've seen more gift marks in people's hands than ever before. I find that fascinating, and I think that's part of this time we're in, 2012,
people.
Time for transitions, and a lot of us are calling in these extra skills and talents.
Yeah, people being called to their gifts.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's so cool.
It's very cool. So gift marks help define your purpose. They aren't your purpose, but they are tools that we use to help us fulfill our purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you said there were sort of some standard fingerprint types.
I can describe that. We've got four types there: arches, tented arches, loops, and whorls. And they're ranked. They're not, one print is not better than another, but they are ranked. Arches are the simplest version of a fingerprint,
mm-hmm.
and they get a one. The tented arches are ranked two, a slightly different version of the same arch. It's tented now, it's a little higher peak.
Hmm.
And the loop is a different kind of print, where the the pattern flies in one side of the finger and flies back out the same side. It loops around, comes back out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit more complex. You can see it right here, and happy to show the at some point, maybe show the audience.
Yeah.
You see that, how that loops that way?
Mm-hmm.
There's a triradiad here where the energy kind of bounces off that, loops around, comes back out the same side.
Okay.
Now here is called a whirl. That gets ranked a 4. The loop gets a 3. The whirls get ranked a 4, and you see that that becomes like the trunk of a tree. If you cut a tree and you look at the concentric circles, this is the symbol of the...
Oh, I see, yeah.
Right? So this is the most complex, basically the most complex fingerprint the hand can make in a normal situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets ranked a 4. So by looking at where your high-ranking prints are, the number of prints you have, and your low-ranking prints, of the number of what print types you have, I get 3 sets of information: high ranking prints, low ranking prints, and the quantity of prints. High ranking prints tell me what your soul's already good at.
Mm.
And we call that the life purpose. It's something your soul wants to do again when it returns.
Mm-hmm.
And the life lesson is your low ranking set of skills. That's just right now, by the nature of the soul's journey, every time we come back, we improve in certain territories. Some territory is going to fall into low.
Right.
And so the life lesson is that part of our journey that includes looking at our lowest ranked skills today, our lowest evolved skills today.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, and you took an assessment of both of my hands.
That I did. Yeah, we look at both hands.
Okay. Was there ever a time when there was palmistry a one-hand thing? Or
there's different versions of palmistry and hand analysis out there. And our version looks at both hands, all the fingers, all the marks on both hands.
Mm.
And we don't predict. This is not predictive. It's not about your future or your past or what's going to happen. But we can see a bit about what has happened and what you're here for. So in that sense, we can take a look at what your soul's doing here through the vibrational patterns in the hands and kind of give you an idea of what that looks like.
Right.
So we're not predicting.
Right.
Now, some of the past other versions will take the right hand, for instance, and see that as your future.
Oh, I see.
And they'll read symbols in the right hand as where you're going in your future. The left hand is frequently considered your past.
Oh, okay.
Right. And then there are some people that just read one or the other hand.
Right. But we're not doing that. That's not what you do.
That's not what I do.
Okay. All right. So who typically comes to you? And like do they come more than once? And like for a hand analysis, is it like you get one of these like every year? Or?
That's a great question. As we said earlier, fingerprints don't change. So that's a foundational part of our journey here this time. That's not going to change at all. The territory that our life purpose, life lesson includes doesn't change. But other parts of our hands do change. So what happens is people come and they get an idea of what their soul's vibrational essence is. And the best that we can use language to describe that. And that helps people know what's going to create that deeper sense of connection and satisfaction at the soul level.
Yeah.
So the rest of the hand changes. And so people will come back, you know, a couple months, 6 months later, a year later, get a second reading, get a third reading.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have people come for 2 or 3 or 4 readings in a row because you can't get all the information in the hands out in one reading.
Oh, okay.
There's so much information in our hands and so many different ways of reading that information that it's too much to integrate in one reading. But you can get a really good foundational reading and get a lot of information from that and something to go on.
Hmm.
Depends on how committed a person is, how many readings they'll have.
Right.
So after about 2 or 3 readings, you got a pretty darn good idea of the content in the hands. Come back 6 months later, take new prints. I ink people's hands when they come for a reading because they change. And so I get a record of their hands. I give them a set of prints. They come back. We take a new ink print. Look at it. You can compare what's shifting.
Okay.
You can see what's changing, what's growing, what's maturing, what's dropping out.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a lot
That's
of fun.
That's fascinating. So
yeah.
When we talked prior to getting together, we talked about why this works, why this might work. What's the theory here?
Gosh, what's the theory? Well,
it's a holographic kind of thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. At the core, there's two different things going on. We're looking at the soul psychology, which is the fingerprints,
mm-hmm.
what the soul's doing here. And we're also looking at, and if you will, the human psychology. And that's the personality. That's the part of us that shifts over time. So what's working here is the fingerprints represent the soul's vibrational essence at the time of entry. Some spiritual traditions say the soul enters the body, the fetus, at 5 months prior to birth. That's completely different set of information than the hand analysis. But science has confirmed that the fingerprints form at exactly the same time spiritual traditions throughout history have said the soul enters the fetus. I find that fascinating.
That is fascinating.
Isn't that?
I love it when science and mysticism.
Yeah, when they come together. That was the thing that got me years ago. I was an IBMer.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't believe in this. My spiritual teacher at the time said, hey, come get your hands read. And I went, palmistry? She goes, yeah, he's really good. I said, no thanks. I'm not interested. A half an hour later, she finally says, I'm your teacher. You're coming. I went. I got my hands read. It totally changed my life.
Wow.
But this was a piece. This is one of the pieces that got me, the science behind hand analysis. Literally, there are more nerve endings in our hands than anywhere else in the body. Mouth and hands and the genitals have an extreme amount of brain committed to that territory.
Yeah.
Our hands have more brain committed to them than any other part. When we change and our thoughts shift, our hands shift in response to that. We as readers can look at the hands and see the color, the shape, the dynamics of any particular line. Is it deep? Is it light? Is it broken? Does it have certain other kinds of marks on it? And that gives us a quality of presence to that type of line, like the heart line. When the heart line has marks on it, it tells us some things about people's emotional nature right now.
Uh-huh.
What's going on, what's been going on. This is sort of how we can look at the past.
Mm-hmm.
We can see it in the hands by the marks that are there.
Yeah.
Is that making sense?
Yeah. I can't wait for you to start talking about my hands now. I was like, let's get to it. I'm excited.
Well, this is the stuff that really got me. It's like there's a science behind it. It's a map. It's a learnable, transferable skill. Anybody can learn to read hands. Anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Intuition is helpful.
Yeah.
But you don't need it to read hands. It's a map, and it's repeatable, and it's validatable. If that's the correct word.
Yeah, yeah.
We can validate that.
Those
were the things that really moved me. And over time, as I saw that being consistent, I finally decided this stuff works, and I wanted to learn more, so I took the training. And here I am 23 years later. My primary income is based on hand analysis.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so who comes? You asked that earlier.
Yeah.
Can I answer that now?
Yeah.
I kind of got sidetracked. But who comes are people who are wanting to do inner work, deep inner work, get connected to themselves, line their physical world activities up with their soul. So I see it like this. We are a soul, we have a body, and we develop a mind. And we're taught to live our lives according to the program that gets inserted to our intellect, into our mind.
Mm.
And that's not necessarily right. It's not necessarily wrong, but it doesn't have consistency.
It depends on who the programmer is, right?
Exactly. And we have culture, we have religion, we have family, we have tribe, we have all kinds of education. It used to be that the earth was circled by the sun. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was true in the current world mind of that time. And people actually died when they said, no, that's not the way it works.
Right.
So we get really attached to our beliefs.
Yeah.
So there's, even right now, we have beliefs that we're attached to as an individual, that through hand analysis, we can kind of get a new picture of what our soul's doing here, which is not always the choices we've made in the mind, from the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So my work is to help people get in touch with what their soul's doing here, line their body and their mind up with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I get people who are looking for deeper growth, and I get people who are wanting more clarity about what their career choices could be.
Yeah,
you know, because this can very definitely help with, you know, information that would help people get engaged in the territory where they're most likely to find satisfaction. So career or human relationships or anything like that.
Wow. Okay.
So you want to look at your hand?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So what do I do?
Okay. So when I give a reading, for the benefit of people listening, I guess we could say it this way. What I'm going to do is I look at your fingerprints, which we already did because that can take a while. So now I've got them down in my map. And each one of our fingers has a meaning. And so I'll share that briefly. Jupiter, which is our index finger, mm-hmm. is about power. Jupiter and Zeus, same god, different mythologies, so the god of gods. So the Jupiter finger represents leadership, power, influence, achievement, things like that. Mm-hmm. The next finger, the middle finger, Saturn finger, represents integrity and value. It's a money, and it's also about our personal value. So accountability, responsibility, education, research are all territories of Saturn.
Okay.
Apollo is about creativity and expression, personal expression, creativity, art, beauty, taste, you know, living in that domain where it's innovation and creativity and such things like that.
Right.
Mercury is the messenger god. So the Mercury finger represents our ability to communicate. Most everybody knows about the astrological version of it, where Mercury in retrograde, you know, communication is down.
Right.
So in much that same way, Mercury is the communicator. What we're going to look at is on the right hand, it's the right-handed meanings of those represent the out-in-the-world version of the meaning. So for instance, Jupiter, the out-in-the-world version of power, leadership, is person engaged in leadership with other folks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the left hand, it tends to be our inner world. So it's our own relationship to power and powerlessness that we're working with, our passions.
Okay.
A little different than needing to show up as a leader with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Making sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so what I did was I looked at each of your hands and I took your fingerprints down and I put it on this map for you.
Okay.
And on this map, you see, we've got it listed. I forgot the thumb.
Oh, yeah. What's the thumb do?
The thumb is so important, it doesn't have another name.
Uh-huh.
The thumb is what gives humans the edge up in our world.
Yeah, right.
Right? This opposable thumb that gives us the ability to make incredible machines, do surgery, paint, do incredible skillful things with our thumb. And so thumb represents, in hand analysis, the ability to make things happen.
Oh, okay.
How we manifest in the world.
Right.
So there's lots of different ways to interpret all the things in the hands, but thumb from fingerprint perspective is competent, tangible results. We call it, if that was your life purpose only, we'd call that captain of the ship.
Okay.
You know, if Jupiter's your life purpose only, that's leader.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Saturn, you have in your hand five high-ranking prints. You have five loops.
Okay.
Okay? And those five loops are in these positions, left and right, thumb, left and right Jupiter, and left Saturn. So for me, this map reads like this. When it's on both hands, we're going to emphasize the right hand in this case, and in this one, Saturn, we're going to emphasize the left hand. So this is about competent, tangible, capable manifester. When you're in that zone and things are working for you, this capacity is running at high. You have an ability to make things happen.
Mm.
Over here, Jupiter.
And this is, okay, so that was like my thumb, my right thumb.
That was your right thumb.
Okay.
Okay, and your right Jupiter is about, you know, a man of influence, dealing with power, decisiveness, risk-taking, authority, goals, and leadership. When you combine a thumb and Jupiter, this is what we call the big shot leader, competent, capable leadership. This is when everything else is functioning well. It doesn't mean you'll always be experiencing this.
Or I think I can vouch for that, the truth of that statement.
Right. But it means that the territory your soul has come back to engage in, because it likes that territory in a sense. When we set up this context, its life purpose is a territory of consciousness that's risen to the top of your goals, your skill set. And so we're always learning more every time we come back. So it doesn't mean you'll be the perfect, you know, leader, but it means in the expression of leadership, you will find your deepest sense of self and you'll be challenged the most as well.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
And Saturn, left Saturn, brings in the mentor teacher. So okay. Saturn, over time, develops into the teacher, because what Saturn has a person exploring as a life purpose is integrity, accountability, and responsibility. So these life will support you by creating opportunities for you to be tested around your own sense of integrity,
mm-hmm.
what you are actually responsible for and what you're not. So in this sense, responsible is you can be made responsible by law and you can be made responsible by choice.
Right.
Right. And so sometimes in this lifetime, one has to explore the range of irresponsibility and responsibility, find the sweet spot. We call it the Goldilocks rule.
Okay.
Too little, too much,
right.
Just right.
Right. Okay.
Right? So we're growing our capacity to do these things. And in order for that to happen, life has to challenge us. It's not just like a piece of cake that all this unfolds in our life.
Mm-hmm.
There's a challenge to move to the next level of and evolve to a higher level of consciousness.
Okay.
So as this develops into a bigger picture for you, this is the competent leadership that moves to a mentor teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually you become the mentor teacher. As you develop and learn and express and move into these territories of what's your worth, Saturn is very much about self-worth issues.
Hmm.
And where do I fit and belong, in a sense? You know, Apollo's got a lot of where do I fit, and that's your life lesson.
So
when you combine these things, this is, you know, this is going to work you. This lifetime is going to work you. But what I would say here is this is the leadership that has a capacity to move other people and to be the mentor of other leaders. As you develop, you move into a place of the teacher, mentor, and working with organizations. And there's another mark in your hand that just popped in, so that this is going to modify all that. Now, this is foundational.
Okay.
You as a person exploring your power and your capacity to manifest. So naturally, you're going to be challenged in places where you feel like you can't, where you failed to manifest,
mm-hmm.
where you're not
right.
as powerful and as competent as you think you are. You're going to have to deal with the polarities. Yes?
Great.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And that's the battlefield, in a sense. That's the field in which you evolve your consciousness. But you also have another mark on your hand, which is a fingerprint pattern. I wrote that down here for you. That's a loop pattern, loop symbol,
mm-hmm.
on your moon zone.
Okay.
So now this is very significant because it's not common to have loops and whirls on the moon zone. The moon zone is the karate chop side of the hand.
Uh-huh.
It's the other side of the thumb.
Yeah, opposite
it's the only part of the hand the thumb can't touch besides itself.
Uh-huh.
Right? This is the intuitive. The moon is the feminine, the intuitive, our inner world. You have a fingerprint pattern on the moon zone. Unusual.
Yeah, my left hand, there's a whirl.
It's a loop.
A loop.
Yeah,
a
it's loop. One of these.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Okay. Once you look at it further, it doesn't close. It's just looping.
Mm-hmm.
So what that does is it brings in the moon zone as another part of what you're here for.
Okay.
Because you don't have any whirls in your hand, the loop on your moon rises to life purpose.
Oh.
Right. If you had other worlds, that would be your high ranking print and mm-hmm. the loop wouldn't be as significant.
Right.
In this case, because you don't have worlds, the loop's very significant. It's a part of your life purpose map,
okay.
which means bringing in the intuitive, bringing in the deeper spiritual truths and practices, mm-hmm. getting in touch with your deeper level of intuition and your expression of the divine. So when you combine this and the loop, this is the teacher. This is the spiritual teacher. Someone
okay.
dealing with the other than obvious secular world, physical world content. It's
right.
going deeper into another territory.
Right. Okay.
Is that making sense?
Yeah. Sounds very compatible with what I'm doing.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, hands usually validate who we are. It's not always that big of a surprise for people. Sometimes it is.
Mm.
But the deeper we go and the more time we could spend with this, we could get into the subtleties of where you get stopped, where you get challenged.
So this is really fabulous and fascinating. I would be interested in, and we don't have time to do it on the air, but I would be interested in understanding where I'm getting stuck, why I'm getting stuck there, and what is the opportunity for growth?
Yes.
Right? Because, yes. You know, I don't want to just do the things that are easy necessarily. I mean, it sounds like that's, you know, your life purpose is sort of what you're good at.
Yeah.
Right? What your soul wants to do. But there's also your life challenges. Or
life lessons.
Life lessons.
Right.
And knowing what those are, at least you have a heads up into what, you know, what might be hard for you.
Exactly.
And figure out where to lean on other resources to help you cultivate that in yourself, because it's not natural.
Right. In our version of hand analysis, my version, the one I've been trained in and like a lot, there's the component we're talking about now is called the life lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our inner gremlin. That's our shadow side.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
The part of us. The I'm part sure of our life. We try to tend to avoid.
I have a very significant gremlin somewhere.
Yeah, we all do. It's the dynamic tension. And over the years, I'd like to say this: I've moved from identifying a person's only their life purpose, life lesson, in a sense that this is where you find your soul's deepest sense of satisfaction in the material world, to another level, I think, that is actually more meaningful for me, which is that this is the dynamic tensions of life lesson, life purpose, and some of the other polarities in the hand lead us to the deeper questions that have us awaken,
mm-hmm.
not just, you know, achieve in the material world.
Exactly.
Cause the deal is we can achieve in a lot of different ways with any particular life purpose. And that's not that big of a deal. That is, it's important. It's the path upon which we will find ourselves challenged the most and inspired the most.
Inspired the most, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has the greatest potential of awakening us.
So is it like, if you're following your life path, this just struck me as maybe, I hope this is true. If you're on your life path, you are executing and exercising your power in a fulfilling and joyful way. But also, is it the case that at the same time, the life lessons that you have the opportunity to learn are also presented to you in a way that gives you the opportunity to learn them and cultivate those skills?
Absolutely. Here's the way we, it's a great question. The way we look at it is, when you make progress, this is a very carefully chosen word, progress in your life lesson material, so the stuff you've come to study, if you're paying attention to it and making progress in that territory, your life purpose unfolds with greater ease. The mistake a lot of us make is to focus on our life purpose and work harder at it. When it's not working well, we tend to want to work harder. What do I need to do to make my life purpose work? And so we keep trying to do that more. That won't work in the long run. It's temporary, and it's not the deepening that needs to occur. So if we work our life lesson material consciously, that becomes our greatest ally. Our life lesson is the place we most frequently avoid because it's hard. It's our lowest, you know, evolved skill today, and we tend to avoid it because it's challenging for
us. Yeah, it's trying to go to your left when you're right-handed.
Yeah, but if you do go there and you consciously work the territory, it becomes a strength rather than a weight
that
keeps us from moving forward in our life purpose. We have agreed at the soul level, so we say, to make progress in our life lesson in order for our life purpose to unfold. It's a soul agreement.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not making progress there, things stall out.
So it's actually a balancing act, right?
Yes.
It's you want to be pursuing your life purpose.
Yes.
But you also want to be working on your life lessons because
simultaneously
because that facilitates the full blossoming of your life purpose.
Perfect. Couldn't have said it better.
Huh. Okay. All right.
They happen concurrently.
Right. Right.
And if they're not, they can go back and forth, but you want to, part of the growth and maturing as a being is getting to the point where we're in real time with our issues. So then we're not postponing them for next week, next year, next life.
Right.
So part of the work with soul, spirit supporting us doing that is to give us opportunities to have the challenges so that we catch them sooner. I like to look at it this way. Mastery, our life purpose is a journey towards mastery,
mm-hmm.
not mastering, a journey towards mastery.
Right.
We never master anything fully.
Right.
So we're moving towards it. Right. And so if we're on that path where we're moving towards our like purpose and mastery, it deepens our relationship to our life purpose. And in order to move to mastery, spirit is going to give us more challenges. So the deal is not that we get to a place where we've completed and we've got it. It's that we catch it sooner and we move through it faster.
Right.
Like in educational systems, you get the lesson, you hear this, you get the lesson, you don't have to repeat it.
Right, right.
In a lifetime, that's not the way it is with life lesson or life purpose. We never complete it. It's a lifetime of studying this territory. And so mastery is, or the movement towards mastery is reflected by how quickly we catch the issue and how quickly we move through it.
Hmm.
That's one way of looking
right.
at
so
it.
Right. So postponing it, stepping it, sidestepping it, not visiting it, is a net drag on our progress.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
And when we do look at it, we call it the inverse, like lesson. When we inhabit that territory so thoroughly this lifetime, and we really consciously work with it, it turns into. Like a life purpose territory, it becomes a great skill. Our life lesson, when fully integrated and embraced, becomes an amazing ally.
Hmm.
So the work is to love our life lesson, not to avoid it.
Great. All right. All right, Todd. So thank you very much. If folks want to learn more about you or your work, where do we direct them?
You can reach me at soulprints. SOULPRINTS .ME.
Soulprints.ME.
It's an evolving website. There's not a whole lot there yet, but you can sign up for my newsletter and you can contact me that way.
Right.
So an email is Todd, T-O-D-D, at soulprints.ME.
Excellent.
And I'm happy to give my phone number out. Is that a good idea?
You can. Sure, sure.
Okay. You can call me at 650-387-2051.
All right. Todd, thank you so much for joining us on the show, and we'll have you back again.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks. And we'll be right back.
Do you have a workshop, protocol, or modality that you'd like to explore with our audience? Come and join us on the air. Share why you love it, how it helps us shine, and empowers us to live more fully. Share your inspiration. You never know who might be listening and whose lives you'll touch. Contact John Carosella on Facebook or by email at jc@fireflywillows.com for details.
Well, that's our show for tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. A Shamanic Life will be back October 1st. Meanwhile, I have the pleasure to announce that I've been invited to be a permanent reader at East West Books in Mountain View. So if you're in the local area, please stop by and see me. I'm available for rune, oracle, and tarot readings, and even a little shamanic healing work on Fridays from 12 noon to 7 p.m. Stop by. I'd love to see you. Mention A Shamanic Life, and I'll have a special gift for you. Thanks again for listening, and we'll join you again soon.
Thank you for joining us. This program was brought to you by Firefly Willows LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. This is Deb Carosella. Please join us next time on Firefly Willows LIVE for our live on-air call-in show, Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m.